the book of Psalms. Just a couple of verses there. The book of Psalms. Verse 7. Chapter 86, sorry. Chapter 86, verse 7 and verse 8. A couple of verses there. Praise the Lord. Remember, if you have opportunity in a impromptu setting to share a Bible study, remember they are right on the front page of our website, sterlingpentecostalchurch.com, and the first thing that comes up are the Bible studies. And you click on those, and you're right into exploring God's Word or into His marvelous light, and able to share in just a moment the Word of God with somebody. Praise God. So I encourage you to access that and look for every opportunity that God would open the door and open a heart, open a mind to receive the Word of the Lord. Praise God. And just for your own edification, just to become familiar with it, go ahead and go to those sites and look at exploring God's Word and imagine teaching. Praise God, as I know it'll be a blessing. All right, Psalm 86, 7 and 8. Let's read them together, please. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. Praise God. He's the only one that can work like he does. There's no other God like him, and he will answer. Oh, I'm thankful for a great God today and the blessings he continually gives to us. Praise God. You may be seated. When I consider the works of the Lord, and that's what we're calling this, works. No works like his works. I know that it's popular today to ascribe creation or how things came to be in theories like evolution. And in one sense, that would seem like a plausible way to say life came into being and life forms came into being. But when you look at medical science and all of the technology that has discovered the aspects of blood and protein, I understand in one cell of your body there are 21 proteins. Now, how could that just happen? life. Well, we get back to that aspect. Life could be explained perhaps in a chance or roll of the dice way that evolution would bring that about. But how did the worlds come about? How did the stars come into existence? How does the solar system continue to maintain its rotations and orbits and so on? And the debate on Pluto, whether it's a planet or whether it's whatever it is, whatever they demoted it to. When it was discovered in 1935, it hasn't even made an orbit around the sun yet. It's still trying to make its way around the sun. And here you are. You've been on a trip around the sun. You know, we admire the Abbots for going on vacation. We've all been making a trip around the sun every year. And if you're like me and you like to look at the newspaper and the little forecast that they give there inside the front page and the seconds of and minutes of daylight that we've gained, 5 minutes, 36 seconds of daylight, praise God, hallelujah, amen. How wonderful. Now, how in the world can that be counted to the second? And how could it have stayed that way You know, I get tickled at those who say we've been here for millions of years, give or take 200 or 300 million. They throw it around like it's nothing. But if that's true, we've been here all of that time, or the world has been here all of that time, our solar system and so on, how amazing that all of that time, it still goes around the sun, and you can count it to the second. Pretty incredible that God spoke it into existence, and that's the way it has stayed for millions of years. And we can't even get our cars to last. You know, we have to get another one. Praise God. The Lord blessed Sister Annette with a new to her car. That's good. The Lord gives blessings to his people. The Lord provides in tremendous ways. Amen. But all the things that we put our hands to are not going to last. But what God spoke into existence continues. He worked. We use that word work. He worked for 6 days in creation. Light divided from darkness. And he declared, let there be light. And every other creative act was built on those four words, let there be light. Everything is affected by that aspect of light. The study of physics, the study of astronomy, and all of the sciences that would relate to light are just amazing, just incredible. Of all of the things that could be described about light. But even in the spiritual realm, and especially in the spiritual realm, that principle is even more important. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. Man formed out of the dust of the earth, and God breathing into him the breath of life. Light and breath. Thank God that the Lord would provide those elements in bringing to us spiritual life of utmost importance. And that's why the Lord said, you must be born again. Amen. Water and spirit. He qualified it. He expanded on it. He elaborated and let us know it's not just an idea that floats around out here and everybody can claim, oh, I've been born again, and it becomes political fodder, and it's philosophical and all of these aspects. But I'm thankful the Lord provided his name when we can be born of the water, and he provided his spirit so that we can be born of the spirit. And thank God it happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and it continues to happen with hundreds and thousands being filled with the Holy Ghost. And we're renewed in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that touch is wonderful. Now, all creation is amazing. All creation is wonderful. But it's all going to be destroyed except one aspect, and that's your soul. That's what's going to remain. That's what's going to continue into eternity. So all the wonders that are in the world, we categorize them as ancient wonders. We categorize them as modern wonders. Whether they're ancient, whether they're modern, they're all going to pass away. The Bible lets us know that's what's going to happen. Natural or man-made, they're all going to be gone. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, I'll take time to read it here today, 10, 11, and 12. 2 Peter chapter 3, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, unexpected and unknown. You don't know the time. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, or being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The day of the Lord, the day of God, those are events. Those are coming times that we must be prepared for. Peter twice emphasized the elements melting with fervent heat. Amen. If you took chemistry and you stared at that chart on the board or on the wall, and you looked at it in your textbook, the periodic table of elements, and all the memorizing that you did of its abbreviations and its weights and electrons, protons, and so on, neutrons, all of that stuff that you memorized, it's going to be gone. But the scripture you memorized, the scripture you lived by, that's going to take you into the eternal realm. Praise God. And of primary importance here, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation or conduct and godliness? Thank God his powerful salvation, so great salvation, makes a change in us now and forever. Hallelujah. His incredible works that he has done, his word that he spoke, and the creation that came about, his word that he spoke, and people healed, and people delivered, amen, and the changes that would come to them. The nobleman who was a ruler. It's interesting that the scripture calls him a nobleman, a ruler, someone who was in charge, someone who had a powerful authority and a word that he could say, and his employees, his servants got busy, and he could do different things. But when his son became sick unto death, he knew that there had to be somebody more powerful than him. And so he would make the trip from Cana, or from Capernaum rather, to Cana. How long he was on that journey, how strenuous it was, how difficult it was, how dangerous it was, didn't matter to him. My son is sick, and I know there's one who can heal him. And so he came to Cana where Jesus was, and he addressed him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." A legitimate request. And as parents, we can relate to him. We can understand his concern. We can understand the stress that he was under and the desire that he wanted for the very best to come and take care of his son. Jesus looked at him. Jesus answered him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." It wasn't a flippant answer. It wasn't just a shrug of the shoulders or a raise of the eyebrow. "Go your way, your son liveth." No, I think there was power. I think there was authority. There may have even been a rumble of thunder. Praise God. "Go thy way, thy son liveth." Hallelujah. And the nobleman didn't argue. The nobleman didn't say, "Well, surely, you know, I'll make it worth your while if you come." No, there was acceptance. There was trust. There was belief. Amen. He turned around the way that he had come, and he retraced his steps. And on his way, his servants met him. Now, what could have gone through his mind as he recognized in the distance, that's somebody from my household, that's somebody that I employ, that's somebody that I know? What is the message going to be? I don't know if there was consternation. I don't know if there was worry. I don't know if there was cause for concern. But when that servant came close to him and passed on the message that his son was well, his son was recovering, and so he quickly put two and two together. What time did he begin to mend? Yesterday, about the seventh hour. Praise God. And that was the very time that the Lord spoke to him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." Oh, thank God for the works. Thank God for the works. Nobody could do works like he can do. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, the word would travel around about how he is the healer and how he could do great things and great works. And those four men would dash into their friend's house, and they would load him on the blanket, and they'd each take a corner and lift him up and dash down the street to the house where Jesus was. But they couldn't enter because the crowd was so great. It could not be hidden that he was there. They'd all gathered. They'd all come together. together. They all crammed in the house. Praise God. Oh, I believe God can cram this house. I believe the Lord can bring them all in. I believe the Lord can do a work. Hallelujah. Children in our Sunday school. Youth in our youth group. Hallelujah. Young teens and young adults together. Praise God. The Lord doing a tremendous work as we all come together to serve Him. They couldn't get in. They began to look around wondering, how can we gain access? What can we do? That window's too small. We're not able. There's no other door up on the roof. Amen. The tiles began to be removed. The dust began to filter down. The hole got bigger. People wondering what in the world's going on. And the Lord continuing to teach. Praise God. And then the blanket being lowered. And suddenly they recognize there's somebody in there. They're lowering somebody down. And Jesus said, your sins be forgiven you, son. Who can forgive sins? There's always going to be cynics. There's always going to be critics. There's always going to be those who question. And that you can know the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. Rise up. Praise God. What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? And Jesus said both, because that's His works. Praise God. And the man took up his couch or his bedding, and he walked out the door that he couldn't come into. Now he walked out. Praise God. And all five of them walked to his home because the Lord said, amen. His word, his touch. You know, Jairus, again, a parent, a young child, 12 years old. We aren't given the age of the nobleman's son, but too big to carry in that distance, and probably didn't want to carry him anyway. Jairus with a 12-year-old daughter, again, very concerned, a man who is used to authority, acting in authority, speaking in authority, came to the Lord and said, please come, my daughter is dying. My daughter is afflicted. My daughter is about to die. And as he's trying to hurry the Lord along, there's delays. You ever get frustrated with delays? You ever get shook up about delays? And somebody else is being helped, but oh God, I need your help. Lord, I'm glad somebody else is being healed, but I need to be healed. God, I need you, I need you, I need you. And the Lord's taking care of needs all around. Praise God, because that's the kind of God he is. There's no God like him. Nobody can work like him. Hallelujah. Amen. And this poor woman with the issue of blood spent all that she had, tried cure after cure, consulted doctor after doctor, traveled here, traveled there. Nothing helped. And now she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Now, the law had a lot of regulations about blood and uncleanness and cleanness and so on. And that may be why she thought, I'm just going to touch his hem. I can't touch him because he'll be unclean because of my condition. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she did. And she was healed. And the crowd stopped because Jesus looked around and said, who touched me? And his disciples are incredulous. Lord, there's a crowd here. What do you mean, who touched you? I felt virtue go out of me. Praise God. Now the Lord knew, of course. He knew. But he wanted that woman to recognize or be recognized. He wanted everybody to see how powerful he is. And now his touch could make such a difference. And she came not knowing, perhaps, if am I in trouble because I touched him and I made him unclean and in my condition and so on. Well, what's going to happen? Trembling, she fell down before him. And oh, what beautiful words she heard next. Daughter, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Praise God. And Jairus perhaps could rejoice a little bit. Jairus could smile and be thrilled, but his daughter. And when he turned to go, here comes a servant. Your daughter's dead. Trouble not the master. What emotions would have gone through his heart? What feelings may have had? What words did he have to stop from erupting? You know, if we hadn't delayed, if we'd hurried. But again, the Lord, fear not. Believe only. She shall be made whole. So the journey continues. Praise God. How long it took, I'm not sure. What the distance was, it doesn't really say. But they got there, and the mourners were all gathered, and there was much procession going on and so on. And Jesus spoke to them, "Weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth." The mourners laughed. They laughed him to scorn. They changed from weeping and wailing in one second to laughing and scorn in another, because they knew she is dead. There's no life left in her. Jesus put them out. If you don't believe, you're going to get put out. God help us. Amen. Make sure we're holding on to the promise. Make sure we're believing. Amen. Peter, James, and John were the disciples that accompanied the Lord, and they watched him as he reached out and took her hand. Now again, if you touch the dead, you're unclean. Doesn't matter to the Lord. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He came to fulfill the law. He's bringing it about in a powerful way. He reached out and took her hand and said, "Maid, arise." His touch is miraculous. Jairus and his wife changed from tears and sorrow to hugs and joy and rejoicing. Praise God. Oh, there's no God like this God. Among the gods, David wrote, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Amen. The creator of the universe, but yet he would come and be with his creation. Adam and Eve in the garden, warning and instruction to Noah. Abraham called to a different destiny. Moses being spoken to out of the burning bush. Thank God the Lord took time to minister to his creation. In fact, John records he came to his own. The Christmas story is only matched by the power of the Easter story. Thank God for all that we can rejoice in and all that we can share in the blessings of the Lord. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Thank God it all elevates Jesus Christ. And God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. No works like his works. Amen. Healing that is so amazing. Healing of people here today. Amen. The power of God that is so wonderful. The deliverance that he would bring. We don't have time to go into the man from Gadara and Mary Magdalene, who is described as seven demons being cast out of her. The boy that was thrown into the fire and into the water, the devil trying to destroy him. But Jesus cast the devil's out. Oh, thank God. There's no works like his works to deliver us from fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He destroyed the devil and the power of death that he may have had, and delivered us who all our lifetime in bondage of the fear of death. But thank God, the power of the Lord doing such an incredible work. Amen. Acts 19 and 19, they had a book burning. And they counted the cost. All those pieces of silver that it was worth. Doesn't matter. Burn it up. We're getting rid of it. Praise God. Sister Megan showed me a report in Guatemala. A witch came down to the altar with her tarot cards, or however you say it. How do you say it? Tarot? phonetically, it looks like to rot. That's a good way. Just let them rot. But she came with her cards. She's going to stop the move of God. She's going to impede what God is doing in that place. She got baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. The devil's going to lose the battle every time. The devil's not going to be victorious. The devil's not going to pull down the work of God. It will continue. The Lord declared, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Thank God for the power of the Lord. And in that meeting in Guatemala, 324 healed by the precious name of Jesus. 840 filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, my God knows how to continue His work. There's no one that can work like our God can work. There's no God like our God, and His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God He delivers from addictions. Thank God He changes addictions. The Bible talks about those who are addicted to the ministry of the saints. You don't need to be addicted to substances. You can be addicted to the ministry of the saints. Amen. And the power of God. So great salvation. And there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God for the power of that name. And every knee and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee is going to bow. Thank God. The eternal work that our God does. We make reference to the water, the Spirit being compared to water. There's, of course, a very powerful reason for that. It's because we need water every day. We get thirsty. And the Lord said, if any man thirst, and of course every man thirsts, every woman thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He told that woman at the well, the water that I give. Thank the Lord. It will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He promised there shall be rivers of living water flowing. Praise God. Paul talked about we've all been made, 1 Corinthians 12:13, all made to drink into one Spirit. Interesting how that reference to water continues, because it's so essential. It's necessary for life. Astronomers look out in space and explore the other parts of the solar system and beyond. And they're always looking for one element, water, because life cannot exist without it. Life as we know it cannot exist without it. And thank God the Spirit is like water. So essential, so important, so necessary. And thank God when we get into that eternal realm, there's a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God. And when we get to that heavenly realm, that's what we're going to see. Amen. Clear as crystal. How often have you heard that? How often have you seen it in literature? It comes from the Word of God. Amen. And thank the Lord, that's what we're going to experience, the power of God. So, this chapter that we read from, Psalm 86, there's so much of it about answered prayer. David wrote, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. David knew from his own experience, God answers. God answers. Praise God. Here's some snippets from verses that you could look in Psalm 86 later. God does wondrous things. He has great mercy. David wrote, thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Some of you have experienced the lowest hell. Modern translations talks about the depths of death, and we know how hard it is to say goodbye. We know how hard it is, but the Lord is there with His peace, His mercy, His love, His strength. Amen. David wrote, he's full of compassion. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's plenteous in mercy and truth. Praise God. And so, part of his prayer is in verse 11. Verse 11, Psalm 86. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Praise God. I think that's a prayer that the Lord delights in answering. I think that's a prayer that the Lord is thrilled to hear. And he knows that we, like David, need him so desperately. Teach me, Lord. Teach me to walk in your path, O God. I will walk in thy truth. I'm not going to forsake it. I'm not going to trade it off. I'm not going to grab a hold of some modern idea of philosophy and forsake the truth that has been eternal. No, I'm going to hold on to it. Praise God, and unite my heart, Lord. Another translation says, don't have a divided heart. Have an undivided heart. Praise God, desiring to serve the Lord and to walk with him, because there's no God like him. There's no one that can work like him. There's no equal to him. And he will show you his works. He will reveal his power. He will not forsake you or leave you. Praise God. We hold his unchanging hand. Amen. Let's stand today. Thank God for his blessing and goodness. Thank God for his love and his mercy. Hallelujah. 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 And oh, how powerful our God continues to be. If we had other reports like Sister Megan found, if we were to just all of a sudden have report after report flash on the screen, we would be amazed of what's going on in the Philippines, what's going on in Africa, amen, what's going on in South America, amazed at the number being filled with the Holy Ghost, the numbers being baptized in the precious name of Jesus, the number of people being healed, because God still does that work. He still fulfills his word. He still heals by his touch, and his name is still all powerful. Praise God. And that's what we believe. That's what we receive. That's what we call upon. That's what we trust. And we know God to do a great work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please come to the front here now. Know God. Know God like him. None that can work like him. Amen. Amen. And all our trust continues to be in his name. Hallelujah. Let's just love him for a few minutes here now. Let's just love him. Let's just let him know, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh,